Joining us now, Patty Dreyer, the county executive for Portage County. First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and all of the listeners, too. Yeah.
Let's start off with an update. A lot of things happened in the December meeting, so there's a lot of things that are in the works right now as far as changes, updates, a new way of doing things in certain departments. Where would you like to start?
I think one of the most exciting places to start is with our new state Department of Corrections project that we're going to be rolling out this month here in Portage County. So the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, as you and listeners may remember, had invited Portage County to develop a model program that we will test to see if we can reduce the revolving door sort of scenario at jails across the state. Testing right here a restorative justice and treatment cognitive correction sort of model. Anyway, we've gotten that refined now. We worked a whole year on it last year, and we have now gotten permission through the county board to move forward on the project in partnership with the state of Wisconsin Department of Corrections. We're going to start that later this month, and it'll center out of our Portage House, which is a halfway house here in Portage County that's been in existence for many decades.
Let's give people a general overview of how the program is going to work. Instead of just sending somebody to jail, they may have other options, right?
They would have some court-ordered or corrections-ordered entry into this program, and what that means is they'll be determined to be suitable for the program. They'll be medium to high-risk offenders. That is, not the people who are violent offenders, but people who are at risk of coming back to jail, maybe for substance abuse, maybe for shoplifting, maybe for battery, for example, and that with some additional supports and criminal thinking adjustments, some evidence-based programming and mentoring along the way, that we can adjust their course, help them stay on that right course and not come back to jail. So that's what the big test is going to be all about. And we'll have, I believe it's 15 offenders in the program at a time as we move through it. This is a five-year pilot for the state of Wisconsin. Again, working closely with Department of Corrections officials and our own local justice officials to track recidivism and success rates, and hopefully be able to prove that some other methods work better to keep people out of jail and reduce the cost burden on taxpayers at the same time.
The thing to remember is this is not a program for everybody that goes through the justice system, is it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's a risk assessment that's done when one enters this kind of program, and it gets at what the factors are that are tending toward the criminal behavior. And then you address various kinds of treatments at those specific areas of need. And there's a mental health component. I know that's been big in the news with other recent violent events across the country. The whole idea of mental health and wellness and substance abuse treatment and mentoring so that they have some pro-social supports that can show them a different way, demonstrate, and stay connected to these individuals as we help them move through all of the changes that they need to make in their life is really important. So anyway, thanks to a lot of community organizations as well as some contract organizations that operate our day report right now for offenders, and our justice programs director, our Portage House staff, and our Health and Human Services staff, they're all working together to make this possible for us.
It looks like a rollout later this month or early February then.
Exactly.
Okay. While we're in the law enforcement area, last month we talked about dispatch, and you've got a project going over there as far as expanding into the present office space of emergency management. How's that going?
In progress, for sure. We've just now hired a new position that was installed into our 2013 budget. This is a position for a communication center manager. So that's our dispatch center manager. And we, to this point in time, hadn't had a specific position dedicated to that very specialized field. We've taken some duties from the emergency management office, like taking care of the software for our 911 system and the hardware for our 911 system. Instead of having that be cared for under the emergency management's umbrella, we've transferred it now over, in the process actually of transferring it over to the Sheriff's Department dispatch, where, again, these are the folks working with that system every day. It needs to be better, more closely managed by them. And we thought that that was a wise move for us here. The other thing that it does with a communication center manager is it enables us to have more depth in staffing so that when somebody's out on vacation or when somebody is off sick today, that you've got additional depth in your trained staff members to work with that very delicate an important system that all of us depend on. The other thing about 911 right now is we're getting ready to roll out the purchase process for an enhanced 911 system that will start after March this year as we get all of the homework done and then probably into the next year to implement that project. And it means that video footage, say from cell phones and things like that, can come in through 911. Dispatch to this point in time, that's a technology that we can't handle in our existing home-based 911 system. So these are the enhancements that our more sophisticated 911 field will bring us to, and it's going to be exciting to see how all of this comes together. We've got really great, capable staff working there. We'll have additional stations and space for them to do their work and to stay focused on the calls that they're taking in. If you're like sardines on top of each other, it's a more difficult situation to be able to concentrate and to have the space that you need to get the right kind of job done in today's world with what you need on the desk and what you need on the computer sets and so on and so forth. So this is a really big enhancement for Portage County, and I've been a supporter of it all along, and I think it's the right way to go.
Going to be an expensive project, but probably worth it in the long run.
Absolutely. And while we're getting this done, it comes hand in hand with a reorganization in our emergency management department. Our emergency management department to this point in time had two people in it, and now what we're going to have is about 2.5 people by the time we finish with our reorganization. And it will allow us to have a deputy emergency management director as well as our emergency management director. So we're going to step up the second in command, if you would, by building the qualifications on that position a little stronger than what they had been in the past, and be able then to allow us an even greater opportunity for some of the training, the drilling, and the responsiveness that emergencies require us to put forth. Of course, with the floods, the 100-year flood, and then the next flood we had the following spring, boy, did that teach us some things about what we needed to do to have some additional resourcing and supports to make sure that we were as ready as we need to be to keep our citizens safe in the event of disasters.
Before we leave dispatching, we know there's a proposal to have joint dispatch with the city of Stevens Point. Last I heard, that is a ball that's in their court, right?
It still is. That's right. I'm looking forward to it bouncing back this way.
So at this point, it's a proposal, but no action from the city at this point.
No, I think they're doing their diligence, and I would expect them to.
Okay. Moving on, community corrections we've covered, but also strategic planning is something we haven't gone into. I understand there's some big things happening there.
Yes, this month is a particularly big month for strategic planning. I've got to say, with the idea of a new year, I mean, what better time to plan? To plan for the future. And anyway, this last month of December, all of the department heads had a chance to complete an online survey that our consultant, Reinvention, out of Madison, had helped us in pulling together. And we then did that homework. It took quite a bit to get it done. Let me tell you, our unit here also completed one of those surveys. There are many of our directors that were out talking with various stakeholder groups, municipalities, and others to find out how we can serve them better and so on. Anyway, all of this information is being distilled into another survey, which will go to all county board supervisors within the next couple of days. And they'll have a half a month or so to complete their survey. And then from there, it all lays the foundation for a whole day strategic planning session of all county board members as well as our directors to begin to identify the strategic priorities for Portage County. Over the next 3 months, we'll be reporting on a number of different occasions back to the community, and in March there will be a report to the county board and the community that will be on the county board agenda. From there, I don't have all the other details laid out except to say that a parallel path is strategic planning for physical space in Portage County. You first determine what your program mission all about, and then what you need to accomplish that mission in a space aspect follows, right? So we're going to have the buildings and the campus concept addressed through our Space and Properties Committee. So hopefully by the middle of the year, Portage County will be better poised than it ever has been in any recent history to know where it's going and have a bit of a path laid out about how we're going to get there. And we'll already be able to make decisions for our 2014 budget based on what we've learned through that process.
So if I understand correctly, the initial surveys that you already completed are primarily to find out what mission do you wish to accomplish and what are you doing now?
Something like that. Each department has its unique mission. For example, if I'm in Health and Human Services, my mission is very different from the Sheriff's Department or from the Veterans Service Office or from the Register of Deeds. So each one needs to give attention to their own mission, their own statutory requirements, and so on. From there, those get blended into the bigger strategic issues for the whole county, which is kind of that's where we're going, is to get to a place where we'll have these larger strategic issues for the whole county operation. And then each department after that will drill down and reflect on what those big issues are in light of their individual mission again. So it's complicated because you have so many different moving parts and pieces, and they're very different from each other. A library, for example, is so different in its mission than what our Aging and Disability Resource Center needs to do. So anyway, yes, you will definitely be hearing more as we move along, and we are moving along. It's been a lot to even get this lifted off to this point in time. We're building on the work that our directors had put forth with their oversight committees over the last year and a half. So they've all already inventoried their entire statute requirements, their, you know, laid it all out so everybody can see what it is that we are required by state mandate or federal mandate to do, and then from there we're going to continue through the sorting process.
So by March, probably see some action on that area.
I think certainly a lot of committee action. I don't know that we'll be already through a final kind of a plan, but we'll see. I'll keep it moving, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this takes us. Of course, I think citizens are going to have a great role to play in this, and so let's get down the path a little bit through this retreat that we have on January 18th, and from there we'll be able to see a new horizon and see where we go from there.
Last time we got together, we talked about how you're working to combine some social service agencies, including child support. Where are we at that project?
Through the county board in December, the reorganization of child support to integrate it into Health and Human Services has now happened. So we made the ordinance change happen. We are now in the process of organizing the physical space moves that need to happen organizationally to fit child support under the wing of Health and Human Services. Is that kind of transition has already begun. So it'll be another few months as we move through that transition process. But what it means is, again, it's not a very common thing that you actually reduce the number of departments, individual departments in county government. In this scenario, we do. We roll two together and put one under the leadership of the other. But I think it's really important that we do it because some of the same people served by the child support mission are also served at Health and Human Services, so they can have a bit more of sort of one-stop shopping, if you would, when they need to, say, apply for food stamps during a transition after a divorce and they're filing for child support. You can do that all in one place. Another reason is that it allows us to draw down additional federal funds for the program, because that's how the guidelines are listed, are noted. And we could have done this many years ago and had additional funding to support us in this growing caseload and handling the staffing to deal with a growing caseload, and we never did it before. So it's time, and we're making it happen. And I'm pleased that after about a year and a half of work that we're able to look ahead to being able to hire a new child support specialist. So we're creating a job out of this as well, and be able to bring our caseloads back into the range that they're supposed to be per staff member, per state guidelines.
I imagine that's one of those areas where when you got into office and you learned about how it was, you just looked at this and said, why aren't we already doing this, right?
Actually, we discovered this a little bit later in that process. It wasn't the first thing that ever came to my mind. But when it's laid out on paper, because those who do the study really know how the guideline, how the how all of the regulations for these programs work, when you look at it with a fresh eye, as somebody did, and brought that to my attention, then the more we probed into it, the more it made sense to do so. We still haven't dealt with the idea that people from Health and Human Services at the Ruth Gilfrey building will have to come over to the courthouse for court hearings, but our social workers do that every day. We have several trips back and forth as it is. And so Child Support will do the same, and we'll have an office that is sort of like a mobile office that they can use in a downstairs area of the courthouse to make it efficient, you know, when they're waiting for a court case to come up. But that'll be the same for our social workers. It's been the same all along, and we need to make the change happen. And just taking this next big step, I think, is, while it may be a challenge for some people who may worry, you know, I've got to go to a different work building than I used to have to go to, so it's a change in a routine in my life, or it's a change of a new leader of our unit, or I might have a different culture in the different building, or I might have to learn new things. Well, you know, those are things that's our duty to deal with. It's to address straight on, and this is in the best interest of the citizens of Portage County, and that's what we're here to deal with. So we moved it through.
Anything we haven't covered today?
I'm just I sit here on the day after the fiscal cliff deal. Even an interim deal has been arranged at the federal level, and all of those things don't make it very easy for the rest of us to go about our days. We all need to find compromises and work with a heart for compromise, and I think we've got a lot to look forward to here in Portage County, and we are going to continue to work on the necessary compromises that it takes to move our community forward, and that's what I'm feeling good about in 2013.
You brought the fiscal cliff. Did you see anything in the fiscal cliff compromise that's either negatively or positively going to impact the county?
Well, the part that's not easy to see on the front page of the newspaper is that those payroll cuts are still going to happen for everybody. And so it's, what did they say, a 4.2% to 6-point-some-odd% reduction in take-home pay for those that have a payroll tax that they will still need to pay. And I was actually just talking with staff members about it. We're putting out an email to everybody because we want families to be able to plan financially in their lives. And the news kind of buries that fact. There are many effects to us at the local level in a lot of different ways, and there will continue to be. I mean, we're tied together. We're really an arm of the state government, and so anything that happens above us, up the chain of command, so to speak, affects us all. So we'll just continue to do our best, given the things that we're given from the higher-ups, and continue to try to lean on our own legislators to try to shape a better future.